Good day, everyone. Welcome to today's quarterly all-VR call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Robert Pfaff. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and thanks to all of you for joining today's all-VR call. We are appreciative of your time. We have a lot of good information to share with you right away. I think some overall really good news, given the unusual circumstances that the pandemic has put all of us in. And we're going to share some more of that information during the latter parts of the meeting. I just wanted to open and give you an idea, first of all, how things are doing programmatically in terms of program participation. Given the situation with pandemic and folks are working remotely and so forth, from what we see overall, as you can imagine, is a slight decrease in some aspects in terms of program participation. So, for example, in terms of the number of beneficiaries working with VR under cost reimbursement, we've seen a decrease starting in January from about 230,000 beneficiaries down to about 223,000 through June of this year. On the EN side, we've seen a slight increase from January, 72,000 298 to 73,615. There's been some fluctuation in that number. That number's been higher, and it did drop a bit from May to June, so we did see a decrease there. One area where we have seen an increase is the number of beneficiaries assigned to VR agencies under Ticket to Work, and that number's gone from 35,000 to almost 38,000 beneficiaries. So overall, a slight general decrease in program participation. I don't think in terms of the levels that we would have anticipated given the severity of the pandemic. So people are still assigning tickets. People are still working with VR. We're still making lots of payments. So, I'd say generally the takeaway is it's business as usual despite the fact that people are working remotely. So that's where the program is. And with that in mind, I wanted to pivot a little bit more towards services towards veterans. We're interested programmatically, SSA. We'd like to get some information from you, folks in the VRs, in terms of unique services or supports or materials that you use to work with the veteran population. So in your area, there may be a military base. There may be veterans facilities of some shape or form that you're engaged in. You may have some projects, local projects, that you're involved in. We'd like to know a little bit more about those and any materials or anything else that you could share, links or websites or social media, anything of that sort would be fantastic. We're trying to report back to Congress and our executive management those efforts in terms of outreach to the veteran population. So I'm going to ask Anna before we turn it over to Katie. Anna, if you could give us an email box that the VRs folks could use to send that information, I would appreciate that.
Sure. You can send your emails and materials to enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Thank you, Anna. And I'm going to turn it over to Katie. She's going to talk about some data that we are collecting and we've enhanced. I will tell you that we are paying a huge amount of money to VR agencies over the past several months for the first time that we have seen, dating back to data that we have captured back to 2015, we've paid VRs over $20 million per month dating back to March. It's been an incredible amount of work and activity. And also, not to steal Katie's thunder, but we have been very effective in working down the backlog, which has been a problem for us programmatically. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Katie Streibinger, our VR manager.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our quarterly VR call.
I wanted to give you some updates. The first, like Rob mentioned, I do want to give you the status on our backlog. We currently have a little over 7,000 cases pending, but the great news is that less than 700 of those cases are more than 60 days old. We have just knocked our way through the backlog, and we are no longer looking at 4 months out worth of cases. We are really making our way through everyone's cases, and we have a large pending, but I would not say we had a backlog by any means. So we are doing great, and the team is just working so hard to get through everyone's claims. So thank you all. One report that we started distributing back in June was the new fiscal year-to-date VR reimbursement activity by state report, and that's a great way for everyone to see where we are. All the numbers that I just said are on this report that you can now see. So you can see, based on this report, our current pending at the time of the report. And you can see how many cases have been pending and how long the average time it takes for a case to get worked. So we are really pleased to be able to send this report to you and be able to give it to you on a monthly basis. Some background on the report. This is the restart of a report that we used to provide you before we moved over to the ticket portal and switched our internal system from a standalone Verma system to the ITOP system, which talks to the Ticket to Work portal. When we made that change, we ended up losing this report. So the report that you just got the last 2 months in June and July are an attempt to restart a report that we used to send you. I know I've gotten some reactions on the report and some questions, so I just want to walk through some questions I've already gotten. Hopefully maybe this will stop, you know, someone from asking something I've already answered, but we will have time at the end of the call if you have any questions for something I did not cover. The report, unlike the other report, which was broken down by region, this is in state order, alphabetical, as you can see, and this only includes states that have claims that we either received from October 1st, 2019 to the present, or we paid or denied it, you know, completed the case between October 1st, 2019 and the present. So if your state isn't on here, it's because you haven't sent us anything in the current fiscal year or we haven't had a claim processed from you. The same thing with the total tickets, you know, if you look at the total tickets on the report, it's not the total for all the tickets that are currently assigned to VR agencies because this report is already filtered to only states that have sent us claims. The report time period is October 1st to the present. I did put fiscal year date, but I do realize that everyone doesn't have the same fiscal year, so the version that comes out in August will have a better header so it's clearer for everybody. And you should be able to. All of the data in this report is from the same data that you have access to because the ticket portal connects to ITOPS. So if you wanted to go back and look at, you know, it lists the claims allowed. If you go back and look and run a query in the ticket portal for claims allowed since October 1st, you should get the same exact numbers. And if you ever get a mismatch, you know, please contact me, let me know. So that's how we're pulling this number. I'm not pulling any data that you shouldn't be able to pull yourself from the ticket portal. It should all match. Interesting column is the total approved versus total paid. If you are aware, once we approve a claim and the technician hits the pay button, it does take a few days for that payment to actually go to Treasury and get issued. That's the difference. The total approved is the total that we've approved for payment to stores, but the total paid is how much you should actually have in your bank account. And the claimed amount pending, the final column, is how much we have, you know, listed as pending from you. The dollar amount pending isn't obviously the amount that you're going to get paid, but that is the amount that we have outstanding from you. And this report does include reconsiderations. They are counted as, you know, just like any other claim. They're not a special bucket or a special column. If all of your reconsiderations end up being payments, then you're going to see them in that the claims allowed column. Like I said, this report is ongoing. It is going to be a monthly report we'll be sending out to you.
If you have any questions or concerns about the data, please let us know so we can, you know, work through it on that. One column that I know everybody's looked at is the column of the denial rate. Do you understand that this report does start with the beginning of the fiscal year? The beginning of the fiscal year, we were working really old claims. We were working claims before we made some policy changes, before we gave some recommendations to some states on how to submit claims better. I know the ticket tracker made some changes so that earnings weren't being spent too soon, which was causing a lot of denials. A lot of things are in this denial rate that many states have gone on to improve or fix or make better for us. So don't take that denial rate to mean that we are going to hold it to the denial rate that you're staring at today, because we do realize that this denial rate is built on a lot of old things. But I did want to make sure we included this denial rate so you could see the kind of data we were looking at when we made a decision back in the beginning of the fiscal year. The denial rate and the overall denial rate from all of the VR agencies, that's some of the things we were looking at when we went into and created the next thing I'm going to talk about in my talk, is the VRSA report. When we saw the denial rate and the fact that agencies were sending in claims early, we thought, what can we do to help them? And one of the things that came out was VRSA. If we sent the agency the report showing them the earnings that we had in their system, they could wait and not send them early. This report helped us see that VRSA was something that was worthwhile doing. And we had a pilot, and then in the most recent month, back in May, we sent out VRSA to all of the agencies. So please take this report as a positive thing it is, as a tool that we can use together to make decisions, because that's what it's intended for. It's a check-in for everybody on a monthly basis. And once again, you know, please contact us if you have any questions. So the update I have on VRSA went out the first week of May. It is a quarterly report. We sent reports to 59 agencies. So far, 39 out of the 59 agencies have sent us 2,522 claims based on VRSA, and that's based if you put VRSA in the remarks text. So that's how we pull that report. We haven't gotten to May claims yet, so I don't have a breakdown for those claims and how VRSA cases are looking, but I will definitely have a report on the next quarterly call. And you can expect, if you're signed up for VRSA, if you're one of those 59 agencies, the next quarterly report is going to be distributed to you the first week of August. Our most recent OXI file should be getting to us this week. So after we get the new OXI data, we can then send you the report. So expect that the first week of August. And then the final item I wanted to make sure I discussed is that we have an upcoming training for all of your agencies and anyone who is interested. The title is Submitting Successful Claims to Improve VR Cost Reimbursement Allowance Rates. That's on July 23rd from 1 to 3 o'clock. You should have gotten this in a Gov delivery message. I'm just going to read it to you. Social Security, in collaboration with the Council for State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation and the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, will present a webinar to address a mutual goal of improving the submission process for cost reimbursement claims. Vocational Rehabilitation Agency staff who handle and or oversee cost reimbursement functions are encouraged to attend this webinar to learn from both Social Security staff and VR agency peers about how to submit claims to increase approvals of initial submissions and decrease denials. You should get another Gov delivery this week with the dial-in information. So please mark your calendars, July 23rd, 1 to 3 o'clock, and that will be a webinar. So we look forward to everyone attending if you can. And after that long spiel, I'm going to hand it over to Raquel. Raquel?
Thanks, Katie. Good afternoon, everyone. I just have a few quick reminders for you all. First, beginning with the email blast, as Katie stated, they do come via our Gov delivery system. If you are not receiving the email blast on a regular basis, for example, the agenda for today's call, please email me at the VR Help Desk, and I will make sure you get on that list, distribution list. Also, in regards to those email blasts, we try really, really hard to send out all of the important information as soon as possible in regards to maybe policy changes, procedures, cost formula, anything that we feel that you guys need to know immediately. We send it out via these email blasts. So we would just appreciate if you all would take the time to actually read them and save them in a file or something for yourself, especially when it comes to different codings and denials and any type of procedures. Save that information. It's really important for you all. Next subject, the earnings. The new denial code is our 590 code. I just wanted to emphasize exactly what we're looking for when you receive that denial in regards to earnings. Right now, the technicians and the analysts, the very first thing they do before we even review your claim is we look at the earnings information that you submit. So if you're looking at Bursar, you should be putting on the remarks tab the word Bursar. That's all you need to do. If you're actually submitting documentation, earnings documentation, we need to see 3 out of 4 quarters of earnings at or above the SGA level or blind SGA level. If that information is not there, if you're just submitting claims with earnings but they're below the SGA level, you will receive a 590. If we don't see any documentation, you will receive a 590. If you're finding that you're receiving 590 in error or you think it's an error, again, please email me at the BR Help Desk and I will look into that. Next topic, PII. One thing that we cannot do is provide you all with no Social Security numbers. So if you're trying to upload a claim and you're having an issue where the name and the Social Security number do not match, you can email me the name that you show and the Social Security number that you show. If your Social Security number is wrong, that's the only information I can provide you. I can tell you, hey, it's wrong. Go back to the VR counselor and try to figure out that information. I can give you the person's name if you have maybe their first name and they got married or divorced, something like that. That I can provide to you, but I can never issue to you a Social Security number. So that's just the FYI when sometimes I receive those type of email requests. For the beneficiary complaint, these are emails that I receive when a beneficiary contacts the helpline, and they just want to complain in regards to the VR. The only action that I take on that, I forward it to the VR director and more than likely one of you, a SSA coordinator as well, just to give you the FYI that this person is complaining about maybe a counselor or whatever the issue is. That's all I do. I take that action, and on my end, I consider it closed, and I let the VR director handle that. In regards to one thing that's not on here that I wanted to talk about was reconsiderations. Just a quick reminder that when you all submit a reconsideration, when we're reviewing that information, we're using the initial submission date. So you should never receive a 620 untimely filing denial on your reconsideration unless the initial claim was just looked at incorrectly. So if you're finding that you're getting a reconsideration with a 620 untimely filing denial, please email me again at the VR Help Desk so I can look into that. If I find with a reconsideration or anything like that where it's an error on our part, SSA's part, I create another reconsideration right then and there and will process it immediately for you. If I find that it's something that where it's the VR's error, then you guys will have to upload the new claim and wait for first in, first out to actually get it processed. So that's just how I do things. When it's our error on SSA side, it gets corrected immediately. And that is all that I have. One more thing. For the Boston region, which is region number one, I was just informed that there is a new regional coordinator. Her name is Sandy Rodriguez. So that is my, Connecticut General and Blind, Massachusetts General and Blind, Maine General and Blind, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont. That is your new regional coordinator, Sandy Rodriguez. So if you need her email address, it's sandy.rodriguez@ssa.gov. Again, email me at the VR Help Desk, and I will give you that information. That is all I have for today. Operator, we can go ahead and open up the line for any questions, please.
Certainly, ma'am. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please signal on your keypad by pressing *1 at this time. Please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is *1 if you'd like to ask a question at this time. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everybody the opportunity to signal. All right, one more time. Star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll pause for just another moment. Okay, looks like we did have a couple questions queue in. We'll take our first question from Paulette Narr.
Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Paulette. Paulette, your line may be muted.
Yes, I was muted. I just had a simple question. On the report that's sent, that's being sent to us once a month, what does, column D, receipts, what does, is that just the number of claims that you have received? Is that what that means?
Hi, this is Katie, yes. The number of receipts is the number of cases that your agency has sent since October 1st, 2019. So if you made a claim to the portal, it's counted as a receipt. So, like, for example, the first row had 45 receipts, so we got 45 claims.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, once again, star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll next go to Betsy Simoneau.
Hello. Hey, have y'all sent out, I couldn't understand, the registration for the training for the 23rd?
Hi, this is Katie. There is no registration. There is just the dial-in is going to be provided this week. Did you get the original DEP delivery message announcing the training?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so if you got that message letting you know there was a training, you this week should see another message with the dial-in information.
Okay, thank you.
And next we'll go to Eugenia Cox.
Hi, this is Eugenia. I sent in a few questions on the chat, and I didn't know if you guys are able to see that or not. Yes?
Hi, Eugenia.
No?
Hi, Eugenia. We don't actually have the chat going.
Oh, well, I'm logged in to the, and it says it just hasn't started, but you can ask questions. Oh, okay. I didn't know if that phone. Yeah. On the first email you sent out, it has the chat version. It says, welcome to the VR call. The questions that I had are, one, and I always get confused about this, when you've got a claim pending and before it goes into the payments made to me, isn't there a period where the claim isn't showing up because somebody's auditing it?
And the claim should always.
Go ahead, Katie.
If you had an answer, you can go.
No, go ahead.
Eugenia, the only case we know of so far, and it's really isolated, is that say we submit the case for approval, and then somehow SOARS makes the payment date a future date. And it's very rare. So say today is the 14th and SOARS makes the payment date the 15th. If you ran a report today, you might not see it because SOARS picked some date in the future. It's very random and rare that it happens, and we try to get them to fix it. That would be the only time it would be in some kind of weird limbo that I'm aware of. Otherwise, you should see all of your cases.
Yeah, and I try to add them up. Sometimes there's some missing. They eventually show up, and it's very brief, but but, yeah, I thought there was kind of an in limbo type of deal in between. The other question is I've had people ask me about whether I submit self-employment claims. And because we don't have wage information for those, and I know that you guys eventually get IRS records, is there any magical way of, because it's hard to reach that one-year timeline when you don't have any tax records and people are, you know, like I said, they can file for for extensions on their taxes and things like that. And I tend to not send in self-employment claims, so I'm not sure if there's any, like I said, anything, because we won't have wage information, but you eventually get wage information. Any suggestions?
Hey, Dean, it's Raquel. The only suggestion that I have would be when you, because that is a little rare as well, but when you find that you don't have any type of earnings information, to email me at the VR Help Desk. And if I do go on there and I'm able to see earnings there, of course, I'm going to let you know about it. But if there's nothing there, then there's pretty much nothing we can do about that, unless you're able to reach out to the beneficiary and get a copy of their W-2 or their form, which, of course, is also very rare.
Yeah. Yeah, and how long is it before you guys see IRS records? Do you get them like once a year or something?
No, honestly, it depends on when the person actually files. So,
okay.
You know, of course, not everybody files in a timely manner, so it just depends on when they file.
Yeah,
so I couldn't give you an actual date.
Yeah, so you might not see it until after it's way past that 1 year mark, then.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and I just wanted to say that I also put on there that Raquel, you respond very quickly to all my inquiries, and I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
All right, one more opportunity. Star 1, if you'd like to ask a question. We'll pause for just another moment. Okay, it looks like we have no further questions at this time.
All right, thank you so much, everyone, for taking the time to call in. Just want to quickly remind you that our fourth quarter call, I can't believe I'm saying fourth quarter already, will be October 20th at 1 p.m. instead of the 13th, because that's my birthday, so we said we can't do anything on my birthday. But it will be October 20th at 1 p.m., and you'll get the information that I normally send out requesting any type of topic issues that you may have a couple of weeks before. And then, of course, the agenda will follow the prior week. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. I hope you all stay safe and healthy. Have a great afternoon.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank everyone for their participation.